Hello and welcome to the Courage Falls podcast. Listen and be blessed. Hello and welcome to this episode of the podcast. I'm the host, Victor Ejo, and with me here is Pastor Judah Negron. Thank you, Pastor Judah Negron, for coming to my show.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here. Thanks for inviting me, Victor. Excited to share a little bit on what you've asked me to talk about. So it's going to be good.
Yeah, awesome. So Pastor Judah is the pastor of Chi Alpha here at UND. And he's a missionary and a pastor under the Assemblies of God. And he's been serving as a leader and a discipler in many roles throughout his time at Chi Alpha. And I just really honor the Lord in your life. Thank you for your creativity, how you're able to be very talented at a lot of things and still be able to use those things towards making disciples and sharing Jesus with people, even after leaving college. Like how, you know, being a disciple did not just end up at, you know, you being a small group leader in Chi Alpha and all that. And I just wanted to recognize that and appreciate that. And do you mind, before we continue, do you mind praying us into our time?
Yeah, I would love to do that, Victor. Yeah, let's pray. Holy Spirit, we invite you into this space, and I just pray that it would be your words and not my own, that it would be your words and not just Victor's words, but that you would speak through us, Holy Spirit. So we invite your presence here.
Yes.
And Lord Jesus, would you teach us your word as we dive into different aspects of John 21 and discipleship? Yes. I just pray, Lord Jesus, that you would teach us, that you would lead us and guide us, Lord Jesus. So would you be in this conversation, and would you be honored in it, Lord God? In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. Amen. Thank you once again for being here, Pastor Judah. So today, guys, we're going to be talking about persistent discipleship. Very interesting topic. And just a little bit of a background story. I didn't really plan this because I was just in a large group and Pastor Judah was teaching. And I just felt in my heart that, you know, those two words just dropped in my heart, persistent discipleship. I was like, okay. And then immediately John 21 clicked, and immediately I felt, okay, I think, you know, I felt in my heart that, you know, I should talk to Pastor Judah about speaking about this topic. And interestingly, I was going to go home. I literally forgot. I was going to just go home like that. And then I decided to stop by the Greenway, and Pastor Judah interestingly came and was standing right beside me. And then I remembered, I was like, hey, Pastor Judah, can we? And turns out it's perfect timing. You know, it's a perfect timing because he's not going to be available after now. He's a very busy man. So I really appreciate and honor you for coming here again to share with us. And just going into persistent discipleship and looking at John chapter 1, John chapter 21, just kind of the background story of that is, after Jesus had resurrected and he had, you know, demonstrated to the disciples that he was alive, they went back fishing. They went back to, you know, trying to capture fish for themselves, or I don't know, maybe even to make money from it. And Jesus shows up and he was like, hey, children, are you hungry? And, you know, he performs a miracle where he told them to cast the net to a particular side of the boat, and they were able to capture fish, even though they had been doing that all night and didn't catch anything. And there and then they realized it was Jesus, you know, and Jesus invited them to have breakfast with him. And they had that breakfast with him, and then some meaningful conversations were ongoing while they were having that conversation with Jesus. And that's just a little background. I'd encourage you to go read John chapter 21. But just before we, you know, go on further, Pastor Judah, I would like to hear your thoughts. When you hear the word persistent discipleship, what mm-hmm. comes to your mind? What do you think persistent discipleship is?
Yeah, I think when I hear the word persistent discipleship, it sounds a lot like Jesus.
Oh yeah.
It just sounds it sounds a lot like Jesus' method of discipleship.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Jesus' method was persistent discipleship, and I especially think about, like, I mean, just diving right into chapter John chapter 21 as I was reading through it. I think about the story, right? Like you just set up perfectly, you know, the disciples, they were fishing all night.
Yeah.
They couldn't catch fish. Mm-hmm. Jesus says, cast your net out to the right side.
Yes.
They catch a whole bunch of fish.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like, come eat with me. And during this conversation, there's a portion of it that I really think illustrates consistent disciples or persistent rather discipleship well.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in John 21, verses, I think it was 15. Starting in 15, it says this: after breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," Peter replied. "You know I love you." "Then feed my lambs," Jesus told him. Jesus repeated the question: "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord," Peter said. "You know I love you." "Then take care of my sheep," Jesus said. A third time he asked him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt that Jesus asked the question a third time. He said, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Then feed my sheep. I tell you the truth, when you were young, you were able to do as you liked. You dressed yourself and went wherever you wanted to go. But when you're old, you will stretch out your hands and others will dress you and take you where you don't want to go." Jesus said this to let him know by what kind of death he would glorify God. Then Jesus told him, "Follow me."
Follow me. Yeah.
So for me, right, the background of Peter is so interesting because obviously in the crucifixion story, you know, Jesus denies Peter, or sorry, Peter denies Jesus rather three times, and then Jesus comes and he asked Peter, you know, "Do you love me?" Three times. Three different times he asks Simon Peter, "Do you love me?" And then at the end of it, after Peter has said, "Yes, I love you, yes, I love you, yes, I love you," Jesus is like, "Okay, come follow me." And I think, you know, persistent discipleship is really just continually showing someone the way. Like, what, like, how should you think?
Yeah.
What should we believe? Where should we go? And I think Jesus, right? Simon Peter was like, I know that I love you, Jesus. But oftentimes things that we know, persistent discipleship just looks like reminding people things of what they already know. Because Christianity, for me, discipleship, it's actually very simple. It's like, okay, read the word of God, that's truth. Pray and connect with God in that way, and then make disciples and teach people what you're praying about and what you're learning about in the Bible. It's very simple. So discipleship and even Christianity in a sense is simple, but in practice it's hard, and oftentimes we just need to be reminded of things. Right? So persistent discipleship is just continually connecting with your disciples, with the people that you're bringing close to Jesus, and reminding them of things, reminding them, "Do you love Jesus?" And then being like, "Yes, I love Jesus." And then next week, "Hey, do you love Jesus?" "Yes, I love Jesus." "Why'd you ask me, Pastor Judah? You already asked me that last week." Right? And it's kind of just continually reminding people of the basics. Because the basics of, you know, Jesus, like loving Jesus, being in prayer, reading your word, these things, we just need to be reminded of how valuable they are. And so for me, I think that little story illustrates Jesus. He was a persistent discipler. And I think for us, he also calls us to disciple people in a persistent and consistent way. So those are just a few thoughts that I have off the top of my head.
Wow, those are very awesome thoughts. I really, you know, like every bit of what you said. You know, I particularly like what you said about, you know, discipleship being like it's simple, it's basic. Read your Bible, pray, connect to God, and then share what you're learning. And then you said something about like how that is hard in practice. We just need to be continually reminded, you know. And I remember during SGLT, we talked about the grit to keep going.
Yes.
For the small group leader that is trying to make disciples.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I was reading somewhere in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 today, where Paul was talking to the Corinthians, and he was talking about how that when he, you know, spoke to them as children,
mm-hmm.
because they were carnal, and he couldn't talk to them as spiritual people, like mm-hmm. people that had grown, you know, just to buttress the place of him not giving up on them.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote 1 Corinthians, he wrote 2 Corinthians, like yep. trying to ensure that, and almost everything he said in 2 Corinthians were mm-hmm. like a repetition of the things he had said
yeah.
in 1 Corinthians.
Yep.
You know, same with his letter to maybe even Timothy and all mm-hmm. that. And we just see that persistence, that tone of them continually showing up, continually being involved in the lives of the people that they were discipling.
Mm-hmm.
And not just showing up to, you know, waste time, but showing up to ensure that their eyes were still on the ball.
Yep.
So to speak. And speaking of your eyes still being on the ball in mm-hmm. discipleship, and you not losing focus, and you mm-hmm. remembering stuff in discipleship, what would you say is really the goal, is mm. the ball that people should be focusing on and not lose focus of? Or it might not be one thing, might be more than one, but what would yeah. you say is or are the goals of discipleship?
Yeah, no, that's a great question.
Mm-hmm.
I think really, when we boil down, like, when I make a disciple, what should this disciple look like? They should look like Jesus, right?
Yeah.
And so I think really the goal of discipleship is people loving Jesus, right? Mm. People loving Jesus and then loving Jesus so much that they want to share that love for Jesus with other people.
Wow.
Right? It's like, so first and foremost, I think it's a love for Jesus. That's the goal of discipleship.
Mm.
And so we do, but, you know, how do we do that? I think there's a lot of different ways that we can learn to love Jesus or learn that he loves us and grow in our love for the Lord. And I think one of the primary things is being in community.
Mm.
So being in spiritual community or having a body of Christ, like being in a small group, going to large group, because really, for me, that was my story, how mm-hmm. I learned to love Jesus and how that became foundational for me in my life is my story is that I wasn't a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Before I came to college, I had wandered away from the faith
mm-hmm.
And I was doing life my own way. I wasn't interested in God, didn't want anything to do with God.
Yeah.
But I remember, you know, the Lord's so good and he led me to some Christian friends.
Wow.
And so I got some Christian friends from Chi Alpha. I got invited to Chi Alpha. And as I studied their life, as I looked at their life, how they loved each other, how they authentically loved God, how they served each other and were kind to each other and used their words to uplift each other.
Yeah.
I remember I was like blown away by how they live. I was like, wow, this is incredible. This is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Why do they live like that? Why are they so kind to me?
Mm-hmm.
And as I asked those questions, the answer that these students gave me were, well, Judah, the way that I love you is the way that God loves you.
Mm.
The reason I love people is because God loves people.
Mm.
And so really their actions were motivated by their love for God.
Wow.
Their actions were motivated by their love for Jesus.
Mm.
And so for me, that made Jesus become alive and so real to me when I saw Jesus reflected through young college students.
Mm.
So for me, a huge way that we can really just grow in our love for Jesus or help other people love Jesus is by being in community and authentically living like a believer in community.
Mm.
I think some other things that help us really grow in our discipleship and could help fulfill that goal of someone loving Jesus would be getting in the Word and especially reading the Gospels.
Mm-hmm.
Especially reading those first four books of the Bible and someone watching and learning the life of Jesus. I actually, just a friend of mine visited from Boston for a soccer tournament I was hosting in North Dakota.
Mm.
And he grew up in a Catholic tradition, but hasn't really connected with faith in a long time.
Mm.
And I remember the Lord opened a door for us to talk about faith and to talk about Jesus.
Wow.
And we had a 3-hour long conversation about so many different things, and he had so many questions, and it was like really Holy Spirit led.
Wow.
Awesome. And then at the end of this conversation, I said, "Hey, do you want a Bible?" And he said, "Judah, I actually was going to ask you if I could have a Bible, but I didn't know how to ask."
Wow.
So I gave my friend, his name's Pablo, I gave my friend Pablo a Bible, and I said, "Hey, like, you need to start," because he's never read his Bible before for himself. I said, "You need to start in the first four books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John." And I actually recommended John. I said, "Start with John. It's a really, really good one." And so our conversation went kind of late. It was like midnight. I was like, "I'm tired. I'm going to go to bed. We got to drive to the airport at 6 a.m. So I went to bed, but Pablo stayed up and he read the first four chapters of John by himself late at night in my living room. And the next morning he came to me and said, "Judah, like, Jesus is so awesome. I loved reading about Jesus." And now my friend Pablo, who he's never read the Bible before, because he started out just reading about Jesus in the Word, I could tell that he was captivated by God, that he's captivated by this Jesus.
Wow.
You know, and so that's I think, right, that's how we get people just, I think, started on this journey of discipleship and journey of loving Jesus is we say, "Hey, this, you can read about him. You can actually see what he did."
Yeah.
And when you read about Jesus and the Holy Spirit speaks to you as you read the Word, because the Word of God is alive and active, it's sharper than any double-edged sword.
Yeah.
What happens is that your heart truly gets impacted and truly, like, you're like, "Oh my gosh, this is beautiful. Jesus is awesome."
Yes.
So I think encouraging, you know, your disciples to get in their Word consistently, it will help them to love Jesus. And then another thing and final thing to help people fall in love with Jesus is prayer.
Yeah.
Because prayer is just, again, these are simple things, but I think we just need to be reminded. Prayer is this connection that we have with God.
Yeah.
This personal connection we have with God, where it's, you know, it can be a conversation. Sometimes God's speaking to you, sometimes you're speaking to God.
Yeah.
But really, it can be this beautiful conversation that you have with the Lord. So prayer can really grow your depth of love for God, and especially like, it grows that personalness, right? That that we have with God. He's not a distant God that is unavailable and, "Nope, sorry, Jude, I can't take your call, I'm busy." Like, that's not God, right? God is available to us 24/7 because he loves us and because he's that powerful and that big.
Yeah.
But at the same time, he's so personal and willing to have a conversation with us in moments when we take a step back, take a moment to slow down and get in prayer. So I think a big goal of discipleship is, how can you help your disciple to fall in love with Jesus? And then secondly, right, so those things that I just listed contribute to people falling in love with Jesus.
Yeah.
And when people fall in love with Jesus, the byproduct of it, and another goal I think of, you know, consistent discipleship, is your disciple wanting to make a disciple. Your disciple desiring to make another disciple. So this idea of what God has done in you, he wants to do through you.
Awesome.
Right? So I think, you know, there's a flow here of, you know, when you help someone fall in love with Jesus, they're going to want other people to fall in love with Jesus.
Yes.
So that I think is kind of the goal of discipleship, or a couple different goals. It would be falling in love with Jesus, and then people wanting others to fall in love with Jesus.
Wow. Thank you so much for that.
Yeah.
That was really profound, you know, and that really, you know, aligns with what we see in John 21, where Jesus reached out to them, came to them, and the first thing was to ensure that they were, you know, they were fed, and he also invited them into fellowship with him. Yeah, and then he told them to love him. He was asking, like, "Do you love me?" I think he was indirectly telling Peter to, like, revisit his love for him. And I think there was somewhere in Book of Revelations where he was talking to a particular church and was asking them to return to their first love, you know, and loving God. And I just wanted to also mention this, that I speaking about the focus of becoming like Jesus, I remember one time I was reading a book titled Becoming Like Jesus by Willie Akonis, a Nigerian author. And my colleague at work saw the book and was like, "Are you planning to become a pastor?" And I was like, "No, you don't have to be a pastor to be like Jesus."
Yes.
Like, every child of God should desire to be like Jesus. ultimately, because that's the goal of, you know, us coming to Christ. And mm-hmm. if you become like Jesus, you definitely want to impart that desire in other people to become mm-hmm. like Jesus. That way you're also making disciples.
Yes.
Yeah, and then you mentioned things like praying in community and reading the word as mm-hmm. things that help us grow in that direction of yeah. not losing focus. And so I'm sure, you know, as someone who has been in the ministry for a while now, you must have observed whether college students who started well, maybe in their freshman year, mm-hmm. and towards the end, they just disappeared. Mm-hmm. And like, they were just nowhere to be found. Mm-hmm. You know, in essence, I'm saying you must have seen people like who backslided as a result of whatever life threw at them. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you must have also seen some people who were very like fervent while they were in school, and then mm-hmm. they graduated and, you know, they just backslided as well. Mm-hmm. You know, what would you say for someone who is a disciple or mm-hmm. a discipler, what would you say are things to watch out for so that you don't, in the long run, backslide or just stop being fervent as either a discipler or a disciple?
Yeah, no, that's good. Well, I think the people that I see can struggle, even sometimes, this is what I see, Victor, is like, some people can be really like kind of, okay, I'm a Christian, I'm living this Christian life in college, and then they get plucked away from college and they get a new job in a new city with new people and they don't have that kind of a community anymore.
Yeah.
And maybe they don't get plugged into a church or they don't find the same kind of godly community. Mm. I think one thing that can really be difficult for people and kind of just maybe even stepping away from their faith is not having consistent godly community in your life. Mm. I think that's super key. So, you know, one thing that that we encourage is like small group is so crucial. Like being able to have people that do life on life discipleship with you.
Yes.
That don't just meet up with you once a week, but they are a part of your life, right? Mm. You're eating meals with them. You're going to the gym with them. Mm. You are getting prayer because you're nervous about a big test coming up. You know, like it's those type of people that are going to help you navigate difficult seasons of your life when your faith can be shaken. Because we were just talking about it in 1 Peter chapter 3 the other night.
Yes.
Remember, Victor, that, you know, like in this life, there will be suffering.
Yes.
Right. And sometimes you even suffer for doing good. Mm-hmm. Right. Like sometimes like because you're doing good things for the Lord.
Yeah.
The devil is actually coming up against you in a greater way or the world's coming up against you in a greater way because they don't like that.
Yeah.
Right. And so what's something that can help you, you know, like one thing that can help you in those moments instead of like, God's not worth it. Mm-hmm. Maybe just all this pushback. Maybe I should just listen to these people or conform to the culture. Having godly people around you that are praying for you, that are supporting you, I think is so key for individuals having longevity in their faith. You know, so I think that's one thing that I've seen, especially for like the young person, that is really crucial. It's having the right type of people around you, influencing you in the way towards Jesus. Mm-hmm. Rather than people that are influencing you away from that. And then it can be really easy to just kind of fall into whatever the status quo is, fall into whatever the culture is at large. Mm-hmm. So I think that's one thing, you know, but I think the main thing, let's go back to John chapter 21.
Yeah.
For individuals that kind of I've seen in my time that have just not made it or have just decided to backslide in their faith for whatever reason. Mm. The main thing that maybe was a glaring is the fact that this question that Jesus was asking, do you love me? Mm. Right? Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? For these individuals, they might have loved community or loved their friends in Chi Alpha or even loved the worship music or loved XYZ. Mm-hmm. But maybe that love for Jesus just wasn't quite rooted, right? Maybe that love for Jesus just wasn't quite primary for their reason for coming to Chi Alpha or going to small group. And so I think we have to really anchor, you know, people's Christian faith in, hey, like the main thing is loving Jesus, daily devotion to Jesus. That's got to be the main thing. And if you persistently disciple that into people, they're going to be able to last the long haul. They're going to be able to have the grit to keep going. The reason you can have the grit to keep going in your faith or in discipleship is because your love for Jesus is what's is what motivates you. Right? Your love for Jesus is what motivates you. I think of the scripture that talks about, you know, do everything unto God and not unto earthly masters. Right? Like work unto God and not unto earthly masters. When you start to work unto anything other than God and loving Him, your foundation can be really shaky in your faith for the long run. So I think those are a few things that I've seen kind of in my time.
That's great. You know, when you were talking, I began to think of persistent discipleship again and how the discipler has a responsibility. Because you see, for instance, the disciples had gone back fishing. Like Jesus had spent 3.5 years with these guys. He had appeared to them twice after his resurrection before this. And they still went ahead to go fishing. But he still shows up. And we should also, we need to also pay attention to how he shows up. Like he, his persistent discipleship was not burdensome.
Yeah,
it's the persistent discipleship was gentle, was loving as well and caring and like reaching out to them. And so I was thinking like, what if after this encounter he had with them, they had still, you know, backslided again? Would Jesus, what would Jesus have done? Would Jesus had like tried to go raise some other people? Because of course, Jesus still shows up in Acts chapter 1, telling them to go and tarry in Jerusalem, you know, and I'm saying all this to tarry in Jerusalem for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So I'm saying all this to, you know, buttress the point and to ask a question of when it comes to persistent discipleship, what is the balance? Because, you know, you see Paul saying to the Galatians that I labor over you guys until Christ is formed in you. And then he's saying about a particular guy in the Corinthian church that you guys have to deliver this guy and like just distance yourself from him and deliver him to Satan for condemnation. So when do you keep going after people? And when do you just give like let people be?
That's a great question. When do you pursue people? Like when maybe they're like running away, like right, like when do you continue to pursue and continue to be persistent like Jesus was, right? Like this was the third time he showed up and he's like, okay guys, like I'm here again, like do you love me, right? I'm still here. You know, like and but when are moments when you actually take a step back and you let people walk away? And there are scriptures that talk about that, that talk about, you know, if you go into a town and they don't receive you, dust your feet off and leave, you know? And so there are like, or even Jesus telling the those disciples to like pass over some certain towns and like go and like reach, like don't go to this town, but go to this town instead. So there is like in the Christian faith, in the Bible, it, that it's actually very biblical for you to take a step back and actually let people walk away. But it's also very biblical to pursue. So like, what's that balance? Like, how do we understand which moment we're in? Is this a pursue moment or is this a step back moment? And I think really, Victor, you know, what we need is the Holy Spirit to help lead and guide that decision. Because discipleship, if we give up the moment it gets hard, I don't think that's what, I don't think that's a moment we step back. Okay, this is hard. This person's not showing up for things. They're not, it doesn't look like they're very interested. I'll just let them walk away. Like, you know, that's not really biblical. Like, okay, like one hard moment, give up. You know, like the Lord calls us to work hard unto him, work heartily unto the Lord. And, and to go into the fields that there's a harvest, yeah. Right? That's ripe and ready, you know? And so I think what we need, Victor, is we really need the Holy Spirit to help guide those decisions. I've had a few moments in my life, a few different individuals in my life where I've had to kind of to make that really hard decision to step back and kind of let them walk away.
Yeah.
But it was after prayerfully like considering that and asking the Holy Spirit, what should I do?
Yes.
So kind of the story goes that there is an individual in my life that I was discipling. They gave their life to the Lord, really radical transformation in their life. And they were growing and they were in community and they were in my small group. And then they kind of, they took a time away from college in a different city. They kind of got in the wrong crowd with the wrong kind of friends. They eventually came back to UND and they kind of were interested in coming to Chi Alpha and coming to small group, but kind of not. I could tell they're kind of half in, half not.
Yeah.
They weren't like the same person, you know? And so I remember like continually reaching out, hey, want to come to small group? Hey, want to meet up and talk about the Lord? Like, hey, want to do this, want to do that. And like, sometimes they come, sometimes they wouldn't, very inconsistent. And it was kind of almost hurting our friendship because it was like, I want to be friends with you, but now we have this weird thing where like, you're kind of avoiding me because I'm inviting you to church and inviting you to Chi Alpha. Whereas before you were so excited to come with me, you would like ask me if I could give you a ride to things. And like, now I kind of have to like chase you down and give you a couple texts, even for you to like give me one response about anything related to Chi Alpha or God. So for me, I was praying. I remember praying with one of the pastors and the Chi Alpha staff for quite a while, maybe a month or two.
Wow.
Praying about God, what's the next step with this person? Like, what should I do? And I remember the Lord asked me to let him go.
Wow.
The Lord asked me to let him walk away and to like stop pursuing. To stop at the text, stop offering rides, stop asking to come to small group. And what happened is this individual, once I stopped doing that, they kind of disappeared. Right? They disappeared. But what was cool is that our friendship actually got better. Because then when we saw people, when I saw this individual around campus or at a different event or whatever, just at UND, still went to UND, it was kind of like, hey, how are you doing? Like, it was just a nice, like, catch up. Like, man, how have you been? I'm so glad to see you. And this person got to see that, oh, I'm not coming to Chi Alpha or any of Judah's Christian stuff, but he still is interested in my life.
Wow.
And whenever he sees me, he's still genuinely happy to see me.
Wow.
And it's really cool because since then, this person has graduated. They have a job now. They live in a different city. And he's now going to a Bible study of one of my friends that I know.
Wow.
So one of my friends, he gave me a call. He's like, hey, do you know this person? He says he knows you. I'm like, what? He's going to your Bible study? He wouldn't touch any Christian thing. Like, you know, so the Holy Spirit's good where the Holy Spirit knows what we need, right? The Holy Spirit knows what we need.
Yeah.
That actually might have made my friend walk away from God even further if I continue to push and continue to push and continue to text and where are you? Hey, you want to come to this? Like, that actually might have pushed him so far away from God, he wasn't ever willing to consider following God again. But because I gave him that space and said, okay, I'm going to let you do your own thing and discover. Because sometimes what we have to do, I know in my life, I had to discover that the world is so broken and dark. And there's no fulfillment in worldly things. I discovered that's my testimony. I was following the Lord. In high school, I decided to walk away. And what came of it was so much hurt and so much pain.
Yeah.
And then I came back to the Lord and I was like, wow, this is what I was craving this whole time. And so for my friend, you know, I think it was a similar experience where I just want the things of this world. They were so enticing for him. And now he started to kind of pursue his faith a little bit more again in a different city, different setting, and he's just more open to it. So, you know, that's one story of just me really trusting the Holy Spirit. Because actually in my mind, Victor, I actually was like, Holy Spirit, I disagree with your answer. I want to keep pursuing. He's my friend.
Yeah.
I helped lead this guy to the Lord.
Uh-huh.
Like, he was in my small group. No, I want to keep pursuing, and he needs Jesus.
Yeah.
And I remember that was like my response to the Holy Spirit at first.
Mm.
And then through more prayer, I was like, okay, you know what? God, I trust you.
Mm.
I trust that you know better than me.
Yeah.
But then I think there's also, you know, moments where you can be in a really difficult situation and it seems like someone's very disinterested.
Yeah.
It seems like someone's just not picking up your texts or not picking up your calls. They're not really engaging in small group or in godly conversation with you. But sometimes actually those people are people that actually the Lord's asking you to continue to pursue, to show them that, man, God is this God that is, you know, he goes after the one, right? He leaves the 99 and goes after the one.
Yes.
And sometimes that's our role in people's lives, is we're going after that one lost sheep.
Yes.
And we're continuing to pursue them as they continue to run away.
Yeah.
And again, Victor, it's all about asking the Holy Spirit, what should I do?
What should I do?
What should I do, Holy Spirit? Because we don't know the right answer. I think it takes a lot of humility to understand that in our discipleship, we don't know the right answer for people.
Yes.
Like, I don't know the right answer for you, Victor.
Mm.
I don't know the right answer for Colin. I don't know the right answer for Brett.
Yeah.
Of where you guys should go and how you should grow and what you should do next.
Mm-hmm.
But the Holy Spirit does.
Mm.
So what I should do as a discipler is ask him, what's next for Victor?
Yes.
What's next for Colin?
Yeah.
What's next for Brett?
Yes.
And then as he's so personal and so good and he speaks, he gives us, okay, Judah, this is how I want you to continue to disciple them or pursue them or even take a step back. So I think those are, that's one story and then just a few examples of, kind of that balance of when do we step back? When do we move forward and pursue? It's all about trusting the Holy Spirit and asking him.
Wow, that's really awesome. I think we're, you know, gonna go more into talking about the role of the Holy Spirit in discipleship. And I remember going when I first went to college and was growing in the Lord in college, I had someone who was like my discipler. And one of the things that he really helped me to do was to develop, you know, that relationship with the Holy Spirit of like, everyone is going to this event. Should you go? Everyone is going to this fellowship. Ask the Holy Spirit if you should go.
Yeah.
You know, as little as when should I travel home?
Mm.
You know, and in those moments, I think I learned how to be led by the Spirit of God as a disciple. And many times when I came to him to like ask his counsel on something, it was more like him shedding more light or confirming what I was hearing.
Yeah.
From the Holy Spirit. And even like that also transitioned into when I had difficulty understanding scriptures, when I had questions from scriptures, and I go to him and he's like, have you asked the Holy Spirit? When I have a dream, you know, and he would be like, have you prayed to the Holy Spirit to help you understand that dream? You know, and those things were really helpful in shaping my, you know, my growth in the Lord, my growth in discipleship, and that stability in my growth as well. And so I would like to just chip this in, Pastor Judah. What would you say is the role of the Holy Spirit in discipleship? What would you say is the responsibility? Because you see, Jesus, you know, when he first appeared to them, I think that was in chapter 20 of John, of the book of John, he, you know, breathed the Spirit on them. He like some people argue that was the time that was when they got saved or born again.
Yep.
Against what happened at Pentecost, but that's not really the big deal right now. Because also again we see again when he appeared to them, he says, "Okay, you guys go and wait, and the Holy Spirit is going to come on you guys." Mm-hmm. And then we see that literal transformation in their lives.
Yeah,
they were much more stable. Much more bold, much more consistent, much more, and they became like apostles. Yes. After the Spirit came on them, they were mm-hmm. bold. They began to do great stuff mm-hmm. for the Lord, and Jesus didn't have to like keep appearing to them again.
Yeah.
You know, what would you say then is the role of the Holy Spirit in discipleship?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, of course, right? As a Christian, you know, any Christian, the moment you accept Jesus into your heart, you receive the Holy Spirit and he comes and lives inside of you.
Yes.
And that's beautiful. And I think that's key. Like that's our connection to God, right? Mm-hmm. It's the Holy Spirit. But then I think, especially kind of what you were referencing, Victor, that secondary experience with the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2,
yes.
the baptism in the Holy Spirit, I think that is really key. And kind of just, right, like what's the role? The baptism of the Holy Spirit with initial physical evidence of speaking in tongues, you see what it did with Peter,
yeah.
right? Who, right, we remember just, you know, days or weeks earlier,
yeah.
you know, he denied Jesus three yes. times, timid Peter, you know, and tried to almost walk away
yeah.
from the call of God, yes. of God on his life. Jesus has to like call him back into it. And
yeah.
do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me?
Mm.
This same Peter receives the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2, on Pentecost in the upper room. And then he preaches to thousands of people, many of those people that helped crucify Jesus, right? Many of these people that were in direct opposition to Jesus.
Yeah.
He preaches to them, and thousands of people come to Jesus that day. Thousands mm. of people give their life to Christ and become a Christian that day because of Peter's sermon, basically, yeah. right? And so we see the transformational power and boldness that comes from the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that, right, if you are a Christian listening to this, no matter where you are,
yeah.
I would say read Acts chapter 2
mm-hmm.
and look at look at the amazing transformation that happens in Peter's life.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's something to be desired for any Christian.
Yes.
Like no matter where you are, because what it does is the purpose of baptism of the Holy Spirit is not to speak in tongues.
Yes.
It's not to think that you're a more superior, better Christian than other people.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the purpose of it.
Yeah.
The purpose of it is to give you boldness in your witness for Jesus, or yeah. boldness in your discipleship, right? So that is the purpose of it. So if this is a gift, and it's called the gift of the baptism of the Holy Spirit,
yeah.
if something's a gift, it means you didn't do anything to earn it. It means someone else gave it to you.
Yes.
On my birthday, I don't do anything. I was just born. I didn't do much. My mom did something. I didn't do anything,
yeah.
right? Mm. So on my birthday, I receive a gift. All I have to do is reach my hand out and take it and say, yes, thank
yes.
you.
Mm.
And so for me, I think every Christian, this is something we should desire or pursue
yes.
or look into or study. If it's something mm-hmm. that's new to you,
yeah.
I'd say just study the book of Acts. See
yes.
see where there's baptism of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 9, 10, 11, Acts chapter 19.
Yes.
Go and read those scriptures,
mm-hmm.
Those chapters, and look at the beauty of the baptism of the Holy Spirit and how mm-hmm. it really empowers us and gives us boldness to make disciples. So I think a big role of the Holy Spirit is he gives us boldness.
Yes.
When we're speaking of baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
I think just who the Holy Spirit is also in general is he's called Counselor.
Wow.
Oh, he's called Helper.
Helper, yeah.
And so I think that the Holy Spirit is the best cheat code to discipleship ever.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're confused on what to do, if you have a disciple in your life
yes.
or someone you're trying to reach out to and show Christ to.
Yes.
You have the Helper,
yes,
the promised Holy Spirit in you as a Christian.
Wow!
So you have access to someone who not only wants to help you, but that's just not what he does. That's who he is.
Yes.
That's one of his names, Helper mm-hmm. or Counselor.
Yeah.
It's not a verb action. It's a noun. It's a descriptive. It's a word. It's a word. It's who he is.
Yes.
He is Helper.
Yes.
He is Counselor.
Yes.
So I think just relying on the Holy Spirit in your discipleship is really key.
Mm.
Because otherwise, maybe our disciples can start to look a little bit like us and not like Jesus. Right? We want our disciples to look like Jesus, not
yes.
like us. Right? When we see, I believe, as the Apostle Paul is that says, you know, follow me as I follow Christ.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And so I think, you know, the Apostle Paul is even very clear to say, like, hey, you should follow me because I'm an apostle, I'm a godly man, but you should follow me as I follow Christ. So ultimately, we're all following Christ, even if your disciple is, you know, discipler is Victor. If you're following Victor, Victor is following Christ. So, and Victor is leading you to Christ. He's not leading you to Victor and what Victor thinks and what Victor thinks is right. He's leading you to Jesus and what Jesus says and what Jesus says is right. So I think, Holy Spirit's our helper, is our counselor. Rely on him.
Yeah.
And we're going to start to make disciples that look like Jesus and not like ourselves.
Wow. That was really profound. Thank you so much for that powerful insight into the role of the Holy Spirit in discipleship. We cannot overemphasize the role of the Holy Spirit in discipleship. Because in John 16, you see, Jesus was saying that to the apostles, he was telling them that, you know, I have a lot of things to share with you guys. He was telling them, I'm your disciple. I have a lot of things to share with you guys, but I can't share them right now, you know, because I have to go. And, you know, the reality is we may not always be there in the lives of, like, we may not always be a part of people's lives. But the Holy Spirit will always be there. And when the Holy Spirit is always, like, since the Holy Spirit will always be there, why not just help them develop a relationship with that Holy Spirit? You know, I think disciples should not make the mistake of trying to replace the Holy Spirit in the lives of people, so to speak. And, you know, he said, this Spirit will lead you into all truth. And the Spirit of God began to help the apostles understand scriptures, better understand the realities of God. And just backtracking to what you, the testimony you shared earlier on about, you know, that person that the Lord led you to just, you know, take a step back from them. And when you see them, just talk generally about and be much more involved in their welfare. Be much more like you just showed concern in how they were doing. I remember I've heard of a story like that of one woman who was trying to get her son to go with her to church. And every time she did that, like the guy would like respond with a hardened heart towards what she was saying. And I remember, I think the preacher was sharing the testimony, said the woman walked up to him and was asking him like for wisdom or to pray for him, just so he can have that transformation. And long story short, the preacher advised her to just love him. Stop telling him about Jesus. Just love him. Just love on him. And interestingly, you know, the boy would go all night. I think he would go all night partying or whatever and return like drunk and stuff. And by the time he's back, she's like, hey, I made you breakfast. I'm on my way to church. You know, she would like checking on him. She was just loving towards him without inviting him to church. And one day he by himself said, Mom, I'd like to go with you to church. And that day he like he gave his life to Christ. You know, and we see this play out in John 21 as well. When Jesus shows up, the first thing he asks them is, children, are you hungry? Children, have you had something to eat? Because he knows that's probably what they were going through at that moment. They were probably like hungry.
Been a long night.
It's been a long night of them toiling. And then he met them at the point of their need. You know, he literally, you know, helped them to meet the immediate need that they had. And that brings me to the next question that I'm going to ask about what are the expectations that you think a disciple should have of their disciple. Of course, Jesus, whatever expectations we're having of them should be the same expectation that Jesus has of his disciples. So what would you say are the expectations that Jesus would have of his disciples? And what, and by extension, what would you say should be the expectations that we have about our disciples?
That's a good question. I think that, you know, I mean, there's a very biblical kind of guide almost for like growth or that there's just different seasons of our Christian life. Like there's a season for spiritual milk, right? There's a season for like, there's a real like growing season and like you're kind of young in your faith.
Yeah.
And then there's like a spiritual like meat, you know, like there's stuff that's like more complicated than that you dig into as you maybe mature and grow up a little bit in your faith. So I think it's like understand good expectations come from understanding where your disciple is at in their journey. Did your disciple give their life to Jesus yesterday? Or has your disciple been following the Lord for the past 10 years? That might inform the type of expectations you would have for them. Because for them, my friend that I'm discipling, if they gave their life to Jesus yesterday, you know, my expectations would be like, hey, like, I want you to get, can you get in the Word 5 minutes today? Can you pray 5 minutes today?
Yeah.
And can you consistently do that this week? All 7 days, can we shoot for that?
Yeah.
Right? That might be different from my disciple. Maybe they've been following the Lord for 5, 6, 7 years.
Yeah.
It might be, hey, do you want to meet together and read scripture together for, you know, let's read scripture together for 30 minutes and then talk about it together for 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm not even like guiding them. I'm just letting them like read it and let the Holy Spirit help interpret it. And we're just having a discussion about it. It might be a little bit different how I go about it, I think, like my expectations. But also kind of hitting that point, Victor, of, no, I'll stay on the expectations of discipleship. I think it just looks different from where your people are at.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, Jesus, his expectation and end goal was to send them out, to go therefore, Matthew 28:19, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? So at the end goal for both of our disciples, I think, is the same, which is a deep love for Jesus and a desire to disciple other people, you know?
Yes.
And so how do you get someone there? It's very, again, we're maybe going back to what I said earlier, it's just the basics. It's just reminding people of the basics.
Yeah.
But you kind of just like weightlifting. If my entire life, I only bench press 95 pounds, like 14 years old. That's when I was 14 years old, I was bench pressing 95 pounds, right? I'm 28 now. So if I only ever benched 95 pounds, those other 14 years in between, I would still be benching 95 pounds, Victor.
Yes.
I would still be as small as I was back then because I was a little stick. Now, Victor, I'm benching like, I mean, I'm max repping like 165, 185, right? Like I'm at a much different level, right? Because I've grown as a man first and as well, but I've also grown in like my discipline for weightlifting.
Yes.
Right? And continually, week by week, consistently adding just a little bit more weight.
Wow.
Adding just a little bit more weight every week, right? And maybe some weeks, right, you're inconsistent and you got to go down some weight.
Yes.
But then you get back on the horse and you continue to be consistent. Then you grow and you're seeing the muscle growth and you're excited.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it is in our Christian faith. It's if you're only asking people to bench press 95 pounds for the rest of their life, they're never going to grow. So for that new Christian that I'm asking to read their word for 5 minutes and pray for 5 minutes, maybe next month I'm saying, hey, try to read the word 10 minutes and pray for 10 minutes.
Yes.
And, you know, like, maybe go and share your faith with with someone in your class, right? Mm-hmm. Now I'm asking them some more.
Yes.
And then maybe in 6 months, I'm saying, hey, we're going to go on a prayer walk downtown and ask the Holy Spirit to lead us to someone to pray for.
Yeah.
Right? That's really stretching someone that's new in their faith. Oh my gosh, praying for someone I don't know? That's kind of crazy. And then maybe a year from now, they're leading a Bible study.
Wow.
Right? And now what they've learned in this past year, they're helping pass it on to other people. And now they're growing in that way. Because the best way you grow is through teaching, right? Our learn is through teaching. So now they're teaching other people. And because of that, they're learning more.
Yeah.
And now it's like, okay, now we're putting on 95, 100, 105, 115, 125, 135. Let's go, 245 pound plates. You know, we're feeling big now. We're getting bigger. We're getting stronger in our faith. So I think it is a progression. For people, So having a good expectation of what does progression look like in your discipleship,
yes.
But understanding that the end goal of Jesus' progression of discipleship was a deep love for Jesus and going out and making disciples for yourself, right, of Jesus.
Wow, awesome. You know, I also feel like expectations will influence how you spend time with your disciples.
Mm-hmm.
Like expectations will kind of give direction to the kind of conversations you're having, kind of activities that you do with your disciples, maybe during your one-on-ones with them, basically. Because, you know, looking at this John 21, we see a typical approach towards a one-on-one.
Yep.
You know, it starts with, hey, what's going on in your life?
Yeah.
What have you been thinking about recently? How are you doing? And then he goes on to inviting them to dinner, to fellowship with him, to eat with him.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes on to encouraging them or asking them to love him.
Yeah.
And then he goes on to asking them to follow.
Yeah.
You know, we kind of see that sequence because you can't follow well if you don't follow out of love. If love is not the motivation, like you said earlier on. And then I think the last part, you know, talks about him telling them not to compare. And that really speaks to what you were saying about, you know, meeting everyone at the point of their needs.
Yeah.
You know, understanding where they are at and then trying to meet them at the point of their needs and like not expecting too much of people, you know. And so he like encourages them to not compare because, you know, I think he was talking about one of the disciples, John, and they inferred that maybe this John wouldn't die. Maybe he wouldn't die in the long run. And he was like, no, that's not really what I'm saying. You guys should stop comparing yourselves with one another. And as we begin to wrap up this session, Pastor Judah, I would like to ask if you have any final thoughts that you'd like to share towards our audience. But before we do that, I'd like to be thinking of that. What is one thing that you learned from this conversation that we had today? Because, you know, one of the things that I try to do in on this podcast is to start practicing what we're saying, teaching, you know, because we've talked about spending time with the Word as well. Mm-hmm. And so what is something that really stood out to you today? For me, I would say it is what you said about the role of the Holy Spirit, of like involving the Holy Spirit when you want to decide, okay, what should I do? What should I not do?
Yeah.
Because you said something very profound about how it is the Holy Spirit that knows what people need.
Mm-hmm.
It is the Holy Spirit that knows how we should approach people physically. So that really stood out for me today.
Yeah. Yeah, I think kind of a takeaway for me from this conversation is just seeing like it's very cool how Jesus was so persistent.
Mm.
Like he appeared to them a couple times.
Yeah.
They still went out fishing, right? And almost were like abandoning like their call to be apostles.
Yeah.
And then a third time he comes, and then kind of what you talked about, Victor, the way that Jesus approached his disciples and the persistent in his persistent nature, it wasn't like, why are you guys out fishing?
Yeah.
You're awful disciples. Like, what are you doing? Get back to work. Go make disciples of all nations. It was like, hey, I made a meal for you guys.
Yeah.
Like, cast your net on this side and get some fish. Okay, you got your fish. Come on in.
Mm.
I made a meal for you. Mm. Let's sit down and talk. Hey, do you love me? I love you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you love me? I want you to go out and feed my sheep, right? Mm. And follow me.
Yes.
And kind of the attitude that Jesus has in his discipleship really stuck out to me.
Mm-hmm.
He's so kind and loving and gentle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that's the type of discipleship we need to have, especially like, and discipleship is not easy. It can sometimes be messy. People are messy.
Yes.
People are people.
Yes.
So there are moments I know in my life where I get frustrated with people that I'm discipling. And so for me, just reading about the attitude that Jesus had, really encourages me, like in those moments where I might be frustrated, like, why are they doing this? Like, why are they treating me this way? And blah, 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 blah. You know, it really is an encouragement for me to just be gentle, Be like, love them, and continue, but at the same time, continue to put them on the right path.
Yeah.
Do you love Jesus? Okay, follow Jesus. You know, follow me as I follow Christ.
Yeah.
But do it in a way that's loving, in a way that, that Jesus would do it.
Wow.
So that's one thing that stuck out to me.
Wow. Thank you so much for your time, Pastor Judah. Like,
yeah,
so much
welcome.
Wisdom to unpack from this session. I really learned a lot, and I appreciate your time sharing with us here. Would you like, we're supposed to share like final words, if you have any final like words of advice or encouragement for people out there, young people out there.
Yeah, final word of encouragement for anyone listening is the Christian walk, the Christian faith is not crazy complicated. Boiled down, if you want to be a great Christian, read your word consistently, pray consistently, be in Christian community consistently, and then go out and make a disciple. If you do these things, these simple things consistently, you're going to see some amazing growth in your walk with the Lord, in your connection with Him. But simple things aren't always easy.
Yeah.
Right? Doing it consistently is the tough part. Right? And so the encouragement is have grit to keep going in these things, even on days when you don't want to get in your word and don't want to pray and don't want to go to large group service or church. Like, do it, because it's so good. And it helps you in your growth and love for God. And so the Christian faith, it's not crazy complicated. It's very simple.
Awesome.
If you want to grow, but doing it consistently is the trick, is the hard part, right? And so just an encouragement to do that. Thanks for listening. And Victor, I just appreciate you inviting me on to the podcast. And it's been a really fun time. And the hour has flown by.
Yeah.
It feels like only 10 minutes.
Exactly.
Man. That means it must have been a great conversation.
Yeah, that was a very great conversation. Thank you once again, Pastor Judah, for coming on here and sharing with us from the Word of God. Please, can you pray for us as we wrap up?
Absolutely. I'd love to. Well, thank you, Lord, for today. I just pray, Holy Spirit, that you would seal these things in our heart, Lord, that we've learned about persistent discipleship, Lord God, that you would help us have the attitude of Jesus as we disciple people in our lives, that you've placed in our life, that we would trust the Holy Spirit, that we would rely on the Holy Spirit in our discipleship, because you know what they need, Holy Spirit. And I pray, Lord God, that you would help us to just be consistent in our daily practices of loving you, Lord God. You'd help us to love reading the word and prayer and being in community, Lord God. And you would, Lord Jesus, you give us the privilege of discipling others as well, Lord God. So would you help us to do all these things empowered by your Holy Spirit, Lord God? And would you get the glory at the end of the day? Would it be about you? And Lord Jesus, would we do it because we love you? So I pray that would be our motivation. Our motivation would be love for you, Lord Jesus. Pray these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Wow.
Thank you for listening. We hope that you were blessed. If you would like to share your testimonies with us or request for counseling or prayers, or you have questions about what you just heard or other Christian subjects, or you just want to make more inquiries about Caris Folks, feel free to reach us through our website, carisfolks.org, or send in your email at hello@carisfolks.org. Jesus loves you.